The hemp plant has a ton of potential.
Hemp is sort of a broad term that covers a lot of different varieties of the same plant. It's good for food. The seed is sort of like a protein, almost nutty. And then you can grow hemp for fiber.
And its most popular use.
You can grow hemp that is good for pressing oil out of it and getting the compound CBD that's used in health supplements.
And you can do so much with hemp that people are calling it a cash crop. And last year, Pennsylvania started to sell permits for farmers to grow it commercially. But why is hemp farming regarded as kind of risky? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Wash. I spoke to WITF's Rachel McDevitt about hemp farming. So how long have we been growing hemp in Pennsylvania?
So we've been growing it anew for about 2 years. Farmers in Pennsylvania grew this crop 200 years ago when they started moving to Pennsylvania when it was a colony. But it sort of saw a downturn with the rise of cotton about 150 years ago. And then it was outlawed along with marijuana in the 1930s. Because people were really afraid of marijuana at the time.
Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
So it got caught up in that bad reputation. In 2014, Congress passed a new farm bill that allowed farmers to grow hemp for research purposes only. So a lot of states took advantage of that. Pennsylvania got its research program started 2 years ago in 2017. And then the newest farm bill passed at the end of last year legalized the crop. It took hemp off the controlled substances list. And so that is what has opened commercial farming up to farmers in Pennsylvania and across the country.
So tell me how Mitch Schellenberger started growing hemp.
Hi.
Hey.
Mitch.
Sorry, it's been crazy. My hand is kind of sticky.
Oh, that's right.
The CBD stuff is very sticky.
Oh,
and it gets all over your hands.
So Mitch is a third-generation farmer in Lancaster County. He raises hogs and heifers to be used for dairy cows.
Most of our farm ground is supporting the heifer operation, growing forages and feed for them.
He works really hard. I mean, he is this full-time farmer. He is also a full-time mechanical engineer. He works remotely. He's obviously invested in this family farm. He recently took it over from his father, and so he wants that to do well. But it is hard to be a farmer right now.
The heifer business has been really, really difficult, for sure.
And so he was approached by some private investors. And so they approached him and said, we really want to get into the hemp business. Could you help us out? Do you think you could grow the hemp for us? And we'll see how this goes. And he was like, this is an opportunity to actually make some money.
The opportunity to make some money in ag right now is attractive.
Yeah, sign me up. We'll try it. When the federal farm bill passed at the end of last year and legalized this crop for commercial purposes, not just research purposes, Pennsylvania really opened up their program. It's still regulated, so you need a permit to grow it, and you have to pay for that permit. But there's not a lot of restrictions anymore. There's no cap on acreage. You can grow as much as you want. You just have to tell the state about it and pay for that permit. So last year, for research, 37 permits were awarded. Over 300 permits were awarded this year.
Wow.
For commercial growing.
So how many acres is Mitch Schellenberger farming of hemp?
He started with 30 acres, which he even said is a lot. I think a lot of people started small.
You start with a couple acres, an acre or two, and get a handle for process and start to understand scalability and then, grow from there.
But since he was working with these investors and they kind of wanted to start big. So he planted earlier in the summer. He tried to plant in cover crops like clover. So some farmers use that as a weed control method. So you grow clover in a field and then you plant your hemp seeds in that field. But he had a lot of problems with weeds.
The weeds were just super aggressive.
The cover crops didn't really come in at the right time. So he was using weed whackers out in the field over the summer.
At one point, we were cutting down weeds that were, a 2-inch diameter stalk, this big, red root stuff, and, around hemp plants that were, a quarter-inch diameter.
He He was able to get some new equipment because of his investor partners to harvest it. So sort of this like big wheel that he was able to attach on the front of his tractor that would go through and sort of whack the plants down so they could be loaded up into a trailer. And then after you harvest it, you have to dry it before it can be sent to a processor. So he had to find a facility to be able to do that in. I think he found out through some family friends, just neighbors that heard like, oh, you need a place to do this. We have an empty barn.
It was an old hog barn. And the neighbor said, hey, maybe we can use this old hog barn and kind of retrofit it in a way that we can move air through and dry the air.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot. I was with Mitch for just a couple hours and I was exhausted just watching him. It's very physical. I mean, farming is a physical job already. But with these plants, I mean, just a lot of things have to be done sort of by hand. There are delicate crops. You don't want to mess them up too much. And the CBD plant in particular is a more fragile crop, I guess, than if you were growing for fiber hemp. So you don't want to manhandle it too much because you could lose some of that CBD content.
So if the CBD crop is so fragile, why not grow a different kind, like hemp for fiber?
Not many farmers in Pennsylvania wanted to grow fiber hemp because there's nowhere to take it after you grow it. There are more CBD processors that already exist because you can do that on a small scale. But with fiber hemp, you kind of need a larger manufacturer, a larger processor to be able to take in that crop and be able to pay you for it. So there's only one industrial size fiber hemp processor in the state right now. In Red Lion, York County, I talked to Steve Groff.
Founder of Groff North America.
That's Pennsylvania's first large-scale industrial hemp processing company. And he's going to be using this machine called the Hemp Train.
So the Hemp Train creates three streams of product: biomass or green microfiber, which is ready for extraction or use in cosmetics, and then two other types of fiber called herd and bass fiber. Each of those will then, depending on the end user, go through some other packaging or further refining for things like hempcrete, a concrete product made from hemp, the Enforce fiber, a very unique product that we make for shrinkage cracking in concrete. Animal bedding is another very popular product from hemp fiber. It's very absorbent, it's antimicrobial, it's dust-free.
They could be processed further, but those will be what he puts out, and then he'll have to sell it to another processor.
Hemp's been known to have literally thousands of uses, but we want to focus on a few that fit into a strong business model and, again, create sustainability in the industry.
But you can't grow the industry if farmers don't know how to grow the crop. It's kind of a vicious cycle. When we come back...
There are a lot of risks associated with this crop, and part of why we do what we do is to minimize those risks.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to WITF reporter Rachel McDevitt about Pennsylvania's growing hemp industry. So farmers have already gone through a growing season. Was it a success?
We still don't really know. Industry advocates say that it seems to have been successful, but we still don't have the data really on how much money farmers really made or what this industry is worth yet because it is still so new. Even Mitch Schellenberger, you know, after he got all of his 30 acres harvested and sent off, like he still isn't sure if there's an income, because it may have made some money, but if it didn't cover the initial costs, you know, we don't know if there's a profit. So people still seem to be positive about it, but we don't actually have the numbers to say like, oh yeah, this is a cash crop or something like that.
So Rachel, how are people going about figuring out just how big an industry this could be?
There are people doing research. Alyssa Collins directs Penn State's Agricultural Research and Extension Center in Lancaster County. She's one of the people that I've been talking to through this process to see what they're learning about hemp.
A lot of farmers now are farming on a very slim margin. They don't have a lot of expendable cash to work with. So they see this new crop and they say, hey, this could potentially make me enough money to keep farming for another 20 years. And they're very interested in that, but they don't have a lot of money to throw away.
And so she's really trying to give farmers more tools in their toolbox to be able to pick the right varieties of hemp and to know what equipment to use and how much fertilizer to use. But they are only 3 years in, and like, there have been some rough years in there. There was, last summer was really wet. You know, it was hard to plant. It was hard to grow things.
There are a lot of risks associated with this crop. And part of why we do what we do is to minimize those risks, or at least give farmers an idea of what they're getting into when they enter a new crop.
So it's going to take a few more years before we have solid answers to some of these questions.
So, Rachel, why do you think Pennsylvania is encouraging hemp farming if it doesn't have the infrastructure to support it? And it doesn't even have a good idea of how much money it could make.
I think the state wants farmers to have as many opportunities as possible. I think that that seems to be the way it's portrayed, is that this could be something that could be valuable for you. It could help because it's such a tough time in agriculture with tariffs, with like the dairy industry not doing very well in the last several years.
For those farmers, it's extra important that we're pretty accurate with what we tell them, and the risks are upfront and presented for them immediately, because that could make a real difference between investing a significant amount of money in equipment and plants for a new crop or deciding to go a different direction.
I think they want something that's going to give people some hope and just to diversify. That's something we're hearing about. Like, farmers can't really just specialize in one thing anymore. They have to have a couple things going on to mitigate risks and make sure that they can stay afloat. And I think because we do have that historical aspect, you know, Pennsylvania did grow a lot of hemp 200 years ago. They should be able to do it again, maybe. So I think they want to be optimistic. But yeah, they don't really have a ton to predict that it could be successful again. It's a good question because we do have an untested market and we don't have a real solid or large supply chain yet. Supposedly, people are going to want it for things like CBD. So, you know, people were getting told that, like, people will buy this, and this is going to be something that could help your farm's bottom line.
What does Mitch think about the risk? Did he talk to you about that at all?
Mitch is a really positive person. Seems like he was laughing a lot through this interview that we did. I asked him at one point, point blank, do you know that you're going to make any money from this? And he just laughed.
I hope so.
I mean, that's the deal. But until, like, the money's in hand, we don't really know, you know, what we're making. There's a lot of factors that make it pretty, like, volatile. So, yeah, it's a little bit of an unknown.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for talking to us today about him.
Sure, thank you.
Rachel McDevitt is a reporter for WITF in Harrisburg. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Benyako, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.